And ready for chapter 28. So, the previous chapter, 27, dealt with the Lord's death on the cross. And we're thankful for that. Died for our sins. Shed his precious blood. The blood covers our sins, cleanses our sins. And thankful for his work on the cross. And then he was in the tomb for 3 days, 3 nights. And now we're going to see the resurrection. I did want to mention one passage in this. That's back there in verse 46. 27:46, where on the cross he says, our scripture says, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And so this is a citation from Psalm 22. So Psalm 22, if you look there, we see a prophetic psalm. Prophetic psalm. And so some psalms are purely prophetic. But David wrote this. And there in the passage, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? All right, so here David writes this. It's in the Hebrew text. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? In our passage here, we have the transliteration of the Hebrew, Eli, Eli. So E-L, that's the word for God, I, the pronoun there, my. And so notice he talks to the Lord as God. Not Lord, not Adonai or Jehovah, but as God. And then the rest of this has to do with the Lord's statement to the Lord, the Father, God the Father as well, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, if you look over there in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 15, and in verse 34, Mark 15:34. Here you see, as King James renders this, "And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. That is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" So now you notice Eloi is different spelling than Eli. That's because the Eli is a transliteration in Greek of my God. But in this verse, it's the transliteration of the Aramaic in Greek. So, which one of these did the Lord say on the cross? Did he cry out in the Hebrew language or the Aramaic language? And the Aramaic language, many of the letters are identical, but there are some changes in spelling and so forth, like we see here. Well, it's not an either-or, because if you say it's either-or, then one of the writers made a mistake. It's a both. So Aramaic was a lingua franca of the Gentile world at that time, as well as Hebrew was the language of the Jews. And so I think he said both, once for the benefit of the Jewish people, citing the passage, and then he gives the passage, or gives the wording, not the passage, but he gives the wording in Aramaic for the benefit of the Aramaic audience, or at least so that the world would understand he not only died for Jews, but he also died for Gentiles. So he used both languages. So he said both, didn't say one or the other. So this is when many people come in and say, well, there's a mistake here. But poor Mark, he's a young man. He misspelled the word, misheard, something like that. No, he didn't. That means that the Lord, who had Mark write this, got the spelling wrong or something like that. It's not happening. All right, so anyway, you see that perspective here. Now, anyway, so the Lord has died. Last time we looked there, verse 51, the earthquake. He was the first to come out, first to be resurrected. And the centurion then, verse 54, identifies what's going on. And Joseph of Arimathea comes, wants his body. He fulfills scripture there by being buried with the rich. And so then the Pharisees and others wanted to come up with a lie because they understood that the Lord would claim to resurrect. So they knew all these unusual things occurred whenever he's around, like blind people seeing and lepers being healed. So they knew something unusual happens whenever he's around. Now, of course, he can't be God, we're thinking. So he said this, let's just make sure nothing weird happens now at the tomb. And so they have this sealed. And so from every perspective, there's no way the Lord could be missing from the tomb except something supernatural happened. He resurrected. So we understand that. Now we move into chapter 28. It says, at the end of the Sabbath. Now last week I talked to you about that. The Greek word behind Sabbath here is a plural. At the end of the Sabbaths. So there are two Sabbaths that week. There is a Sabbath started the feast of Passover. And then there was the regular Sabbath on Saturday. So we have a Thursday and a Saturday Sabbath. So on Friday of that week, we have two different passages telling us about the women and the spices. But both of those occurred on the Friday. All right, so anyway, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week. Well, when did the first day of the week, which is Sunday, start? In their calendar, it started Saturday at 6 o'clock, going to Sunday at 6 o'clock. Sunday at 6 o'clock started Monday, you see, but we're talking about Sunday. So right around 6 p.m., the Lord resurrected. 3 days, 3 nights. On our Saturday night or their Sabbath. Now we go around the clock, so we're going early morning into Sunday morning. And it's starting to dawn. And they get to the tomb, and he's already missing. Right, well, he's already resurrected. So we see the background and all that. Toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. So think of this now. There's a lot of earthquakes going on. There's one earlier, and now we've got this one. So, you know, what's going on in Jerusalem? A lot of shaking going on. So, earthquake. And the angel of the Lord comes and rolled the stone back from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. All right, so here we see his brilliance as an angel. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Now the word behind shake and the word for earthquake, same word. So I guess the keepers were having their little mini earthquake. Anyway, and they did shake. Came as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. So he knew why they were there. And notice speaking to the women here. Verse 6, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. So the Lord said this numerous times, that he's going to rise. And sure enough, it came true. He's not here, for he is risen. He's risen. So he rose on the first day of the week, which day we honor. We honor the first day of the week, Sunday. as the day of the Lord's resurrection, so we honor the first day of the week. That's why we meet. So I've mentioned this to you before, but when I went over to Dubai, which is a Muslim country, so over there, the weekend starts for the Muslims on Friday and Saturday. That's the weekend. Monday is a work day. Monday through Thursday is their work week. So any Christian that has a job has to work on Sunday all the way through Thursday. And so the church that I visited over there, they said, we want to honor the Lord's day, which is the Lord's resurrection. So we're going to meet at 8 o'clock on Sunday night. And we'll have two services, then we'll have a meal, and then you can go home, get ready for school for the kids, and work for the men. Most of the men worked, the women stayed at home, they had one car, and so, anyway, they wanted to honor. There are other churches there that didn't do that. Other Baptists or other types of churches, they did not honor the Lord's Day. So, but they wanted to honor the Lord's Day, but that's what they had to do. So, can you imagine if we said that we're doing away with all the services here in the morning today, but 8 o'clock tonight, you come, we'll have the messages, then we'll have some food afterwards, because you'll all be hungry by then, and then about midnight, you can go home. Well, that's what this church did. So we honor the Lord's Day. We're not Sabbath Day Baptists or Seventh Day Baptists, so this is so contrary to Scripture here, for those that do that. Anyway, He invites, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And of course, he wasn't there. Verse 7, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, lo, I've told you. And so they go to Galilee. They get out of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a hot spot. And so his disciples, they leave. They get the safety. Go to Galilee. There shall ye see him, lo, I have told you. So this is a created angel. This is not the Lord himself, is a created angel, but knowing what's going on, gives a message here and so on. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with great fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. So think of that. The fear of the Lord, you could have to say, and the great joy. So here, within 3 days, there have been two big earthquakes in the area, and everything else is going on. Yeah, these are unusual days for sure. And he's not in the tomb. He's resurrected. The first resurrection ever in human history. And so this was something that, something new to them, and no doubt fearful, but they had great joy. And so they ran. Now, in John's Gospel, we look over there in John chapter 20, so we've got these four Gospels bring the truths out here and so on. But here we have in chapter 20, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, 20 verse 1. Yet when it is yet dark, and to the sepulchre, and see the stone taken away from the sepulchre, and she runs to find Simon and Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. So we assume that's John. And tells them. And verse 3, Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple and came to the sepulchre, and they ran together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. So I mentioned this before. Who cares who runs fastest? But it's in the text, so we should care. Who cares about that? So some say, well, it's because John was younger. So John could outrun an older man. But I think I can outrun some younger men. Anyway, but let's forget about that. So maybe at the Labor Day picnic, you know, I mean. Are you on, Michael? Okay, so anyway, back to this. So I'm thinking here that Peter was conflicted. I just betrayed him. Now I find out he's resurrected. So I betrayed him. Do I want to see him? Yes, no. I'm conflicted. Maybe he let John outrun him. But anyway, it's in the text. All right, now we come back to this. And in verse 9, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him with the feet and worshipped him. So here, as they went to tell the disciples, and there's the greeting, and they held him, they touched him, they held him. That's what Scripture says there, they held him. Now I want to deal with something here. So if you look there in John chapter 20, and we have... we read some of this already and so on. And in verse 17, here Mary comes, sees the Lord, calls him Rabboni. And verse 17 says, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples and so on. All right, so here we have them holding his feet, and he tells her, touch me not. Or the grammar here would indicate, stop touching me, basically. So the Lord had two ascensions. I think we have to understand it this way. Now, the second ascension would be over there in Acts chapter 1. So we can look at that, Acts chapter 1, and there in verse 11. So he's there with the disciples for 40 days. We're told that in 1:3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, and many infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So here he's ministering to them from time to time for 40 days. Then, at this point, he ascends, goes up to heaven. That's verse 9, 10, 11. And he's going to so come in like manner. But the first ascension that he made was when he gave up his spirit and his body, and he went to heaven. So Scripture tells us this when he went to the throne room. So this is Hebrews chapter 6, once again, putting these verses together, Hebrews 6. We find out the Lord is the anchor, 6:19. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into the veil, within the veil. What veil is that? Well, it's not the earthly veil, because that's already been split. He enters into the veil. This is the heavenly veil, the heavenly tabernacle, which next passage talks about. Whither the forerunner. So forerunner means he runs before. Forerunner, he runs before. Forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So in the flow of Hebrews here, we have the Levitical priesthood, but only the priest, the high priest, could enter into the holiest of holies once a year, and no one else could. A high priest. But that's the Aaronic high priest of the Levitical priesthood. But here, he's not of the tribe of Levi. He's of the tribe of Judah. And so, but he's of the Melchizedekian order. So I have a different order, different tabernacle, different veil. And so he goes into the holiest of holies in the New Jerusalem. And he's the forerunner. In order for the thief who's on the cross to get into paradise, which now is the New Jerusalem, in order for him to get in, he can't wander in to the holiest of holies without the priest approval and going in first, obviously. And so the Lord went in. And so when the Lord went in, and then in order for the thief on the cross to enter in, he had to have the forerunner running in. That's what the word forerunner means, or going in. So now in Hebrews chapter 9, we see the more detail here in 9:11. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. See, the greater and more perfect tabernacle. Not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves. So that's how the high priest went in to the holiest of holies. So neither by the blood of goats and lambs, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So he shed his blood on the cross. He took that blood into the holy place before God the Father, and has redeemed us through that work. And by that means, by his means, we now have access to the holy place, in which is the New Jerusalem. We have access. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. And he goes on to say, for if the blood of goats, bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God through his eternal Spirit. You see, his Spirit went in. So we have two ascensions. That's the immediate ascension when he was crucified. And then 40 days later, thereabouts, we have the Lord's ascension. So we have the two ascensions. So we're getting back to our verse here in John chapter 20. Some have said he was saying to Mary there, don't hold on to me because I have to ascend immediately to the Father. Well, he did have to sin, but that was going to be 40 days later. So, what's this passage talking about? So, we're back here in John chapter 20. He's saying in 27, touch me not. Actually, the imperative here means stop touching me. Stop touching me is what it means, but translate this way. For I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go. So, in other words, Mary, we've got things to do. We've got 40 days to do a lot of things. So you need to get going. Quit clinging on to me. Now remember, in previous passages, others were holding his feet. So it's not a matter of touching him before he could go into the holiest of holies and so on and so forth in a defilement way or something like that. It has nothing to do with that. That's the common view. But I don't believe that's a biblical view at all, obviously. But go to my brethren say, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father. Well, that's 40 days later. So we got 40 days to get some work done here with my infallible proofs. Remember that? Acts chapter 1. Then he ascends from Mount Olivet 40 days later. So we come back to this passage. So we put these passages together. So how did the thief get into paradise if the forerunner didn't go in first? That's the question. How did he get in? Right? So where's paradise? Paradise is not out down Sheol. Paradise is the New Jerusalem. Paul tells us what paradise is. Notice there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul tells us that, now this is all after the cross, obviously, but he says, here in 2 Corinthians 12:2, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. He mentions that expression identically twice here. But it talks about something happened 14 years ago before he wrote this. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. How? That he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words. So, where's paradise? It's in the third heaven. Follow that? Not the first heaven, not second heaven, it's in the third heaven. This is the only place we have reference to third heaven at this point, and it's called paradise. So, how did the thief get into the third heaven, paradise, unless the forerunner went in? Well, the forerunner did go in. You follow that? All right, so anyway, we come back to the passage. Others were holding to him as well and worshipped him. But he needed to have some things done. So, verse 10. Matthew 28:10. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. So remember, he wants to get them out of Jerusalem. What in the world is going on in Jerusalem? Earthquakes. The grave is opened. The tomb is opened. People are wandering around who's been dead. Nobody can find his body. What is going on? So, disciples, you need to get out of town. So he sends them to Galilee. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money to the soldiers. So, what's happened? I've got best men here. And he got out. Stone. Who opened the stone? Who opened the tomb? So, it paid him off. Paid him off. There's political payoff right there. It's in the Bible. It happens once in a while. And so they pay off the soldiers. And then they have a message. And if this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. All right, so they stole his body. So think of this, the disciples. At best they had two swords. Somehow they overwhelmed the 16, the soldiers there. Overwhelmed them. Somehow they rolled the stone back. They get his body out. What kind of a military is this? And so, obviously, it's all a lie. It's all a lie there. Now, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. So, Luke's Gospel 24. This is the parallel passage and so on. Now, the passage starts off here, 24:1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them with shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. So they keep reminding. The Lord promised this. So think of that. The Lord promised his resurrection. If we can believe in the promise of his resurrection, we can believe that he's going to resurrect us unto eternal life. And and so we can believe this. We can believe his. So we're either going to believe his word or not. We've got to decide right now. We're going to believe his word. So he's resurrected. And then verse 7, the Son of Man, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. They remembered his words. And so on. Then a little bit later in verse 13. So here's additional material here. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So here we see he can appear in his resurrected body. He can appear and disappear. Now we're going to be like him. That's 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. We're going to be like him. So anyway, he appears to them, and but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? Why are you sad? And one of them said, whose name was Cleopas, answering unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? So, are you new in Jerusalem? You don't know all the things that have occurred here? So you see, in the scriptures, the Lord asks questions to get the mindset and the heart, for that matter, of those he asks. He doesn't need the knowledge. I mean, he's the one who was involved here, but he knows what happened. And and he says, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have him crucified. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of the company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, when they found not his body. They came saying that they'd seen also a vision of the angel, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. All right, so they trusted this was the Messiah. And yet they're struggling with the events. And he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart. So they had bradycardia, right? Slow of heart, medical term. All right, anyway. Slow of heart, to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter his glory? He suffered and entered into glory. And beginning of Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them and all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. So overall, this has been a short walk, basically. So he got a lot of truth in that short period of time. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went to tarry with them. Came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. See, so this is in contrast with verse 16, where their eyes were holden. They were opened. They said unto one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? So can you imagine being taught by the Lord the scriptures? And their hearts burned, scripture tells us here. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together with them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told the what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. So now the breaking of bread was the Lord's Supper at this point. Just time to eat, have a meal with him and so on. And so here we see another episode during this week. So the Lord ministered to different people. And this was no doubt part of these infallible proofs and other like these Luke talks about later on. And then in Mark's Gospel, so Mark chapter 16, we have another parallel passage on this, so we see in 16:1. And when the Sabbath was passed, all right, that's Saturday. And then verse 2, first day of the week, Sunday. All right, so we have some of the same detail here and so on. And verse 8 says, and they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre. For they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. So this would be awe-inspiring, fear of God event going on here. Now, in the modern versions, verses 9 through 20, the last 12 verses of Mark, are challenged, omitted, are bracketed. Because the scholars say these verses don't belong. But we have them in our Bible. So, are we going to have Mark's gospel ending with the words, "They were afraid"? Is that how the book ends? No. That's not how it's going to end. So we see more detail. Now, there's a lot of truth that's found in this last section here that's not found in the other Gospels. And so this becomes very significant here in all of this. For instance, in verse 15, here is Mark's version of the Great Commission. Now remember, all of them complement. So we have the full statement in Matthew. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." All right, so there's the preaching. "He that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Now, so here we have preaching, believing, baptism. Now, if verse 16 and the first clause was all we had, it would sound like believer's baptism. But it's qualified in the second clause. "But he that believeth not shall be damned." So what does the damning? Lack of faith. All right. What does the saving? Faith. So he does not say, "But he that believeth not and is not baptized shall be damned." Doesn't say that. See, so we have a full statement here, and then a statement that comes back and gives clarification. Now, on the basis of that full statement, see in verse 16, using the word believe, I believe this verse teaches that it's the Lord's will for everyone saved in this dispensation to be baptized. Amen. Why shouldn't they be? See, the Lord wants people to be baptized. He was. He was baptized, right? And everybody in the scriptures that we know of, and all the events, especially in Acts and so on, they believe and were baptized, believe and baptized, and so on. So, he who believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, that's a complete statement there. So what did the saving? The believing. But what is the culmination of a Christian's life? Believe, get baptized, church member, serve the Lord. You follow that? Now, Martin Luther headed up the Lutheran Church in 1530. He signed off on the Augsburg Confession. And in doing that, he wrote a great deal of it. And in his section on baptism, he cites the verse 16a, cites that only. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." So Martin Luther believed in baby baptism, saves. As far as we know, the reformers, both Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, all these men died as having a Catholic baptism. Now, Catholic baptism does nothing, but they recognize, they believe their baptism is what saved them. And so Luther took half of the verse, misused this for his purposes. The Lutheran Church through the centuries have taught that baptism saves a person. Now there may be some saved Lutherans in this world, but it's not because they've been baptized as a baby. Yes, sir?
Is Spurgeon in that group?
No, he wasn't a Lutheran. No, he's a Baptist. Yeah. No, Spurgeon's not in that group. No, he wasn't even a reformer. Now, and as we go on here, notice he gives signs here. So, the signs, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." And then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. So confirming the word, So the Word of God, as it was being preached and then eventually inscripturated, was confirmed with signs. But this had to do with the first century. Now the charismatic movement looks at this and says, well, we're going to pick and choose through the signs. We're going to have tongues. Yeah, it's all about tongues. Maybe we'll cast out devils, if there would happen to be any in our church. But we're not going to do snake handling, and we're not drinking poison. You know, we're not doing that. So we're going to pick and choose throughout this. No, it's a complete package. Either do this or you don't do it. You can't be selective here. So these signs had to do with the first century, not today. And these were the purpose of the signs were to confirm the preached word that eventually was written down, and the final canonical book was the book of Revelation. And after the book of Revelation, there's no more signs. There's no more signs of these to confirm the word, because the word of God has been confirmed. No more signs. No more place for demon exorcism as such, tongue speaking. So snake handling. So we're not going to do that here. So I don't have any snakes in there. Get back in there. No, we don't have any snakes in here. No drinking poison. No drinking poison. You see, and so, and then the faith healing, that was going on here. So anyway, we'll have to bring an end to all this, but these Gospels all end with powerful statements here that are very significant for our benefit in one way or the other. Our Father, we thank you for the time to be here. We pray that you bless our service to follow on the Lord's Day, we pray. And thank you for the truth of the Word of God, we pray, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So now I have up here the budget, that the original budget that we gave, and if anyone didn't get one, you can have a copy of that now.